Too many people need me. I've got so much, so much to do. But when my traveling is over, I'll be back within train.
Back on Downtown on a Wednesday afternoon. It's time for Sports Lit 101 with Bruce Pratt here in studio with us to talk poetry today.
Yeah, and I wanted to first tell people, if you haven't seen today's Bangor Daily, the story of Joy Evans, 37-year-old member of the UMaine Farmington cross-country team, and her 18-year-old son who runs for USM, read the story. It'll make you feel really good. I'm not going to tell you about it. Go out and read it by the paper. Today we're going to talk about some poetry, and I changed the focus of it when I was listening to the show yesterday when I was driving home from school. And you were talking about injuries and how injuries have become more severe and bigger. And I thought I'd read some things that have to do something with that, and then close with a poem I try to read every year on the show by A.E. Housman. This first poem is by a friend of the show, John B. Lee. It's called No Body Contact. No body contact hockey is like no body contact love. It doesn't exist. A half-intended check, a comedy of gestures exploding on the end boards, like a barroom chair or an elbow in the cage, eyes fluttering like nervous budgies, till the stick comes flashing there too, tick, 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 tormenting. And then there are the revengers. I don't get mad, I get even. Neanderthals in the cool arena, and garlic-belching excitable mutilations travel the bench in mumbled justice fantasies. Hapless targets glide by, exposing their throats like doomed kings or submissive wolves, and the torn rose petal of a bruise supplicates a butt end on the voice box, or the hand begs to be chopped from the wrist like a kind of harsh Islamic justice. And the referee, his ears wet with the hydrophobia of questionable calls, or his thumb flattened and tooth marked on the cuticle, is finally drawn into the catfight spin, sorting out the firstness in this parable of single socks. And I wanted to juxtapose that poem, if you will, with a poem by the great Richard Harrison from his book, Hero of the Play, called Using the Body. It's the instruction for goons. Use the body. Pound the other guy rougher than his game imagines. The body hitting home. The body, the agent of policy. When a fight begins, we say it is emotion, but after the game, the goon speaks calmly of the momentum of the play, doing what he had to do, a strict account, level in his head. Later, when he wears a suit, when he coaches, you can see how he saw the entire rink all along. He never looked at the puck, the stick handling, a man's cheek when his purpose is clear and there's open ice before him. He saw the solid mass of a man, how the game, flimsy as a wing, could be held at the socket where the wing joins the body and broken.
Wow.
Yeah, Richard Harrison's a great poet. And then another friend of the show, Kevin Carey, is from his collection, Jesus Was a Homebody. There were so many good poems in this.
He's great.
Yeah, he's really great. And this is one that I didn't read last time. I had it on my list of ones to do. And it's for Bill Russell, and it seemed really an apt time as we head into a new Celtics season, and Celtics fans have the hope that they'll play like they did when Russell was there. You were always in the middle of it, your arms stretching from one side of the lane to the other, tipping those hopeless attempts just enough to gather them and start the other way. You touched everything, your fingertips wrapped in white tape, your beard neat to a point under your chin, your hands on the shoulders of your teammates during a timeout. You were the smartest man they knew, the greatest Celtic. Teams tried everything. Some were bigger, some faster, some shooting better than you, and all you ever did was win. I heard your name at night from the radio beside my bedside table, the gravel voice of Johnny Most. Russell, this, Big Bill, that. You were my hero. Yet while you were winning 11 championships, someone broke into your house and defecated on your bed, and sports guys said you were not happy. You didn't sign autographs. You didn't love Boston. How could you not? I didn't know any of this then. I only pounded the ball in my backyard, making layups as if I were you, outstretched, driving to the basket, beating them any way I could.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, Kevin is a really, really good poet. He's somebody I wish I knew personally. I have not had the chance to meet him. But I wanted to talk about this next poem, and then we're going to listen to Eric Bogle, who set it to music. Most poetry does not set well to music. I love Phil Oakes, but his version of Alfred Lloyd's The Highwayman Leaves a Lot to Be Desired is a great song. Greg Brown did some wonderful things with William Blake's Songs of Innocence and Experience, but generally, a poem is a poem and a song is a song. But somehow, Eric Bogle, who is a wonderful fellow, was born a little before me in Scotland and emigrated at age 25 to Australia, has become part of the fabric of Australian music since then. Most people would know him as the man who wrote and the band played Waltzing Matilda, or the green fields of France, somewhere known as No Man's Land. This is a poem by A.E. Housman called To an Athlete Dying Young. All I'm going to say about the poem before Rich cues it up for you is that the line, "We chaired you through the marketplace," goes back to a tradition in Europe of when someone did something remarkable, they would be put on a chair and carried through the town. And that's what this is. So rather than my annual reading of this poem, let's let Eric sing it.
The time you won your town the race, we chaired you through the marketplace, man and boys to cheering by, as home we brought you shoulder high. Today the road all runners come, shoulder high we bring you home, and set you at your threshold down, townsman of a stiller town. Smart lad, the slippy time's away, from fields where glory does not stay. And early though the laurel grows, it withers quicker than the rose. Eyes the shady night has shut will not see the record cut, and silence sounds no worse than cheers after earth has stopped the ears. Now you will not swell the rout of lads who wore their honors out, runners whom renown outran, and the name died before the man. So set before its echoes fade, the fleet foot on the sill of shade, and lift to the low lintel up the still defended challenge cup. Round that early laureled head will flock to gaze the strengthless dead, and find unwithered on its curls a garland briefer than a girl's.
Wow, that's terrific. Eric Bogle.
Yeah, it moves me every time I hear it.
Sports Lit 101. We'll take a break. Bruce talks with Maine hockey coach Ben Barr up next here on Downtown.